We as people, we are relational beings. I say these words at almost every funeral and memorial service I do. We as people are relational beings. Ours is a world. Ours is an existence defined by and through relationships. Now, they look different for each one of us, but we all have them. Even those who prefer to be alone have defined their relationship to others by creating space. Now, I mention this today because as we continue our Lenten journey, as we seek out stories of life in these weeks before Easter, we again find ourselves looking at relationships. A few weeks ago, when we looked at the story of the woman accused of adultery, we found Jesus asking us to define ourselves individually, not by placing ourselves above others through judgment. It's a story of relationship. Last week, when we heard the story of Zacchaeus, we found ourselves invited to sit at the table with each and every person, because there is nothing any of us can do that removes the invitation to be at God's table. It's a story of relationship. And today we will hear the story of two brothers fighting over inheritance. Certainly a relationship issue. But the focus of the scripture today is not actually them. They actually are like one line at the beginning. The focus instead is the story Jesus tells them to help them refocus their relationship. As I prepared for worship today, that's the phrase that kept coming to the forefront of my mind over and over. Refocusing our relationships. Because it seems to be a repeating theme with Jesus. Jesus is good about this. The things we really need to know, Jesus just says over and over and over until we finally get it. He just keeps doing it, or should I say, he just keeps inviting every person to think about what it means to refocus our relationships. You know, even from his earliest words in ministry, the very first thing Jesus says in the Gospels, when he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. When he tells us that, he's actually telling us we need to refocus. He's not telling us the kingdom of God is somewhere else or you've been looking in the wrong place. He's inviting us to see the world around us because God's kingdom is already there and already present. We just need to see it in a new way as we refocus to see the kingdom of God at hand. As we search our scriptures, hearing these stories of life from those who found life anew or discovered life in a new way in their relationships with Jesus, this is one of the messages Jesus continues to bring. It's a story of life that he offers. Jesus is all about challenging how we see the world and inviting us to refocus our gaze and refocus ourselves. Now, this is fitting, since today we will discuss the parable of a man who has eye disease. Here's the story as it's told in Luke. Someone from the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me as a judge or referee between you and your brother?" I love it when Jesus keeps it real. Then Jesus said to him, "Watch out! Guard yourself against all kinds of greed. After all, one's life isn't determined by one's possessions, even when one is very wealthy." Then he told them the story or parable. A certain rich man's land produced a bountiful crop, and that rich man said to himself, "What will I do? I have no place to store my harvest." Then he thought, "Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. That's where I'll store all of my grain and my goods, and then I can say to myself, 'You've stored up plenty of goods, enough for several years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, enjoy yourself.'" But God said to him, "Oh, you fool, tonight your life will be demanded of you. Now, who will get all these things that you've prepared for yourself?" And Jesus said, "This is the way it will be for those who hoard things for themselves, but are not rich toward God." Now, like I said, this story begins with two brothers fighting over inheritance. Well, We only hear about one brother. It may not have been the two. One of them may know exactly what he wanted to do. It's really about one brother who's fighting it, like an angry child on a road trip who didn't get as many French fries in their Happy Meal, yelling aloud, "Tell them to share with me!" And Jesus, as he is often wont to do, gives the man more than he asked for. First, he points out that it's really none of his business. Why are you dragging me into this? You just want to make the problem bigger. Well, Jesus said you should share with me. I don't want any part of that. But Jesus does engage in conversation, offering him more, because Jesus sees this as a teachable moment, not just for this guy, but for everybody. So Jesus does what he does. He tells a story. Now, when I've preached on this scripture before, I focused on the line, "Tonight your life will be demanded of you." Because it doesn't actually mean the man will die, though some Bibles translate it that way. One of my professors in seminary noted the Greek leaves room for this translation. "Tonight your possessions will own you." Because it's your stuff demanding your life because there's so much of your focus. It's a very powerful thought that our stuff could demand our lives from us. But this morning I want to continue back to this theme and variation that Jesus continues to mention, refocusing on our relationships. The man in the parable has some very complicated relationships, right? The guy with the harvest. I mean, his relationships to his stuff is pretty complicated by the fact that he has so much of it. He doesn't even have enough space to keep it all, which means his relationship to his storage is so complicated. I mean, these are some very first world problems, right? I don't even have enough space to keep all of my stuff. The only thing worse would be having to watch the same commercial on Hulu over and over. I mean, this is a really difficult life. But as we look at this today, this is not a story about his stuff and his storage space. The problem here is with his eyes. Oh, no. Sorry, not his eyes. I'm sure he could see just fine. The problem is with his eyes, meaning his focus on himself. His me, myself, and I. This guy has eye problems. Let's revisit the parable as Jesus tells it. After someone from the crowd says, "Tell my brother to share," Jesus tells this parable. "A certain rich man's land produced a bountiful crop. He said to himself, 'What will I do? I have no place to store my harvest.' And then he thought, 'Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build myself bigger ones. That's where I'll store all of my grain and my goods. And I will say to myself, you have stored up plenty of goods, enough for yourself for several years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.' That's a lot of me, mine, I. It's a lot of focus in. This man suffers from eye disease because the only thing he can focus on is himself. And this is the relationship Jesus is asking each one of us to refocus. As we journey through Lent, we are searching for stories of life. Each of us are worthy of very meaningful and very fulfilling lives. I believe that is one of the promises God offers, that each of us are worthy of a meaningful, fulfilling life. But simply because we are alive does not mean we are fully experiencing life. And so during this season of reflecting on who we are and how we live, it's my prayer that we might find hope for our lives in the stories of Jesus, because they are stories of life. That's actually what Jesus said this is about. When we consider Jesus, we're considering a man who said to all who encountered him, "I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." That's one of Jesus' defining statements. "I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly." He did not come that he might have life and have it abundantly. In fact, quite the opposite. Here's a man who is going to give up his life so that we can have it. We might have life and have it abundantly. That's how much Jesus believes in life, your life, my life, our lives. We are invited into a story of life by a Christ who will give everything so that we might live life to the fullest. And so this Jesus who believes in life for all people, what's his message to the brother at the beginning of our scripture? There's got to be something in there for him. I mean, he shows up, wants the inheritance divided, and he had to sit and listen to the story. So what's the point Jesus is making for him? Was Jesus telling him, don't worry about the inheritance because you're going to die and what you inherited won't even matter anymore? That seems a little dark and cynical for our Lord and Savior. Jesus was addressing the me, mine, I issues that this brother was experiencing. Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me is focused on one thing, himself. And I believe Jesus was trying to expand his view, trying to refocus him on something bigger than himself. Because only thinking about yourself is a pretty narrow focus. And if I've learned anything from my friends and family who have advanced degrees that are very long in title because they are in such very focused areas, if I've learned one thing from them, it's that the smaller and more narrow your focus, the less potential and opportunities you have to apply it. And so it's a very hard thing to find meaningful lives in such small areas. There's not as many opportunities to live if our focus is too narrow. Jesus is inviting a broader focus that isn't simply on me, myself, and I. Jesus isn't asking us to overlook ourselves and our needs. That would be too narrow of a focus as well. Self-sacrificing, suffering martyrs can be just as narrow focused as barn-building farmers from parables who only think about themselves. What we are being invited to focus on is a larger picture, one that includes ourselves and others and all of the space in between, the relationships in between. This is what we're invited to focus on, because that is where life is, in the relationships. Now, I have a lot of interests. My wife is sort of annoyed sometimes that I love everything. But one of my hobbies, and it sort of goes in cycles. There are times I really love it and times I don't do it for ages. One of my hobbies that I love is puzzles. I enjoy it. Well, that's not going to work. Okay. I love a good puzzle. And when I was learning puzzles as a kid, and as we're teaching Joey, though his have much bigger pieces and only like four of them, he's two. But as we talk about these things, I remember sitting with my parents, my grandparents, my cousins, as we would do puzzles together, especially around the holidays, and realizing that if you sit and you just stare at one piece, you're going to get nowhere. Yes, each individual piece is beautiful and unique and very special. But the only time this piece begins to have meaning is when you find a piece it connects with and a relationship is formed and it gets to be a part of something bigger. Staring at a single piece gets you nowhere. And there is a, it's even tasty cupcakes. There is a bigger picture. There is a bigger picture we all get to be a part of, and there is some amazing uniqueness into each and every one of us. And yes, life can be very puzzling, but only when we begin to see and look at all the other uniqueness in the world do we see where we fit into it and how we're a part of something bigger. And that's when things start to come together. Amen.